Thank you, Holly. Try it again. Thank you, Holly. Our scripture for today comes from James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7 and reading through verse 11. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patient, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. May God bless this reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. Father, we are thankful that we can gather in this place to give praise to you. Father, for the next few moments, we pray that our full attention might be upon you and what you would have us hear today. May the words of our mouth, my mouth, and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable for you, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. How many of you have a garden or had a garden when you were growing up? I remember my dad decided to put in a garden, and he got the sod up and he found rocks. So what did he do? He built a homemade screen that he put on top of his wheelbarrow, and he would take and shovel dirt onto that. The rocks would roll off. The nice dirt would go and be down in the wheelbarrow. And in the spring, he would plant. And he'd plant corn and carrots and beans. One year he planted pumpkins. And he also planted tomatoes. Even though he was allergic to tomatoes, and when he was doing stuff with the tomato plants, his hands would break out, but my mother loved tomatoes, so be that a lesson to you husbands. And of course, you know, my brother and I were indentured servants. So we had to take and tend to the garden, and it always seemed like I got the job of cultivating the corn with a hand cultivator. Let me tell you something, that's a pretty good workout. And at least for me, I would see the corn growing up, and I absolutely love corn on the cob. Slathered in butter and salt. And I was always like, to Dad, is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Can we have corn? No, not yet. You gotta wait. And he said those infamous words. You gotta have patience. Okay. It seems like the younger that you are, the less patience that you have. And as you grow up, you get a little bit more patient. But I'm going to be 58 years old come December. Thank you, Holly. And let me tell you, one of my character flaws is I do not suffer fools gladly. I lose patience. when things come up in life, when your house floods, when your basement floods, when a loved one gets sick, are we very patient? No. Usually not. I want this fixed, and I want this fixed when? Now. I'm sure that there are a lot of people that are saying, when is that doggone insurance adjuster going to come out? I have to take and clean this mess up. This is my home, gosh darn it. Or your loved one is sick in the hospital, or maybe you're the one that's sick in the hospital. And the doctors are sitting there scratching their heads. I'm not quite sure what's going on. You're a doctor! You're supposed to know this stuff. If you don't know, go talk to somebody else. It's hard to have patience sometimes. It's hard to have patience when you look at the world at the way that it is right now. Where we're part of the now generation. Everyone. I don't care. Small to large. We want it. And we want it now. We want our way. Those of us that are Christians, we get impatient too because we see the state of the world as it is. All of the evil, shall we say, the attitudes of people, the people that drive 10 miles under the speed limit in the left-hand lane on I-81, just get over. But we see how we as a society, how we treat each other. How the sick are not comforted. The homeless and the hungry are not fed. And that leads us to say, Jesus, you know, you said you're coming back. Now would be an excellent time for that. And that is how James starts out this passage. Right before this, he was talking about being the poor being oppressed. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. I want him to come now. I do not want to wait. He needs to come. And then he goes on to talk about the farmer planting the crop. He talks about the early and the late rains, how you have to wait on them. The early rains come when you have planted your crop. The late rains come when it's time for whatever it is that has been planted to ripen. You see, as tough as it is, we need to be like that farmer. We need to understand that there is a process that is going on, that things are going to happen in God's time, not our time. And it's very tough, I know, sometimes, to really, really wait on God. To have that patience. And let me tell you right now, never ever pray for patience. Because you know what's going to happen? God's going to teach you patience. James goes on and talks about the prophets, how there was an example of them. If you think of the prophets, a lot of times they got a lot a lot of grief. They were threatened, but they didn't stop. They continued on doing what they had been asked to do. Beloved, do not grumble against one another so that ye may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. It is very, very easy, especially with people or institutions that are doing something that we don't agree with. And what do? We grumble. Gosh darn, New Jersey jerk won't get out of that left-hand lane. What's going on? Did you hear the pastor last week? I don't know what happened. He was stumbling over his tongue. Did you hear the music on Sunday? My Lord, she missed a couple notes. Let me ask you a question. What do you think Jesus would do if he came back right at one of those moments? What if he came back and he showed up in my passenger seat last night when I was grumbling? What would Jesus have said if he popped into the car? Attaboy, Tim. Let him have it. What do you think would happen if Jesus was to show up right now? And some of you were saying, good Lord, what is this pastor saying? As a side note, I saw something on Facebook where if you're in a congregation and you're supposed to say, yell out, land the plane, pastor. You're just flying in circles. What would happen if Jesus came back when we were grumbling about something in life? What would Jesus say? Well, you know, Tim, you're just as guilty as that. You've ridden in the left-hand lane. You haven't been paying attention. And remember, you're supposed to leave a 2-second interval. You're criticizing the pastor? Have you ever been tongue-tied? Have you ever been able not to get out what you're trying to say? Have you ever spoken to a group? The point being, before I say that, James talks about the book of Job. Anybody ever read the book of Job? I know Holly has. It's a delightful book, isn't it, Holly? It's a very, very delightful book. This is a book that has a successful man named Job who has got he's got a pretty good life. He's got a good business. He's got a large family. He's got nice tents, food on his table. And he praises God. It's easy to praise God in the good times, ain't it? And then the adversary, Satan, whatever, tells God, you know, the only reason why Job is praising you is because he's got it all. You know what? Okay, we're going to take everything away from him. I'm going to take everything away. Well, you can take everything away from him. Go, do your worst. Just don't touch him. So Job loses everything. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine losing your family, your house? That is probably one of the lowest points that a person can be at. And then three of his friends come and say, you know what? You must have done something. God's mad at you. You must have sinned somehow. Which in reality, Job hadn't. He's got all of his friends trying to, and telling him, just curse God. Curse God and get it over with. Now, Job does go through a time where he is trying to reason all of this out, but he never, ever curses God. He never stops praising. He shows patience. He shows that he understands how merciful and generous that God is at all times, even in the bad times. So, where does that leave us here today? Well, first off, we have to acknowledge that we ain't perfect. And that there are going to be situations that when we are in this, we say, I just want this thing over. God, come on. But we need to stop and we need to say, I need to take this a step forward. And then I need to take another. I will get through this. My family will get through this. My God is gracious. My God is loving. And in a lot of our cases, God has given us resources, family, friends, other things that will help us through those times. So if you find yourself being impatient with something, if you find yourself grumbling about something, just stop. It's tough, I know. Remember the things that you do have. Remember that God has not abandoned you. As I like to say, God always remembers us even when we don't remember him. So if you're impatient or you're grumbling or dissatisfied, just stop. Acknowledge what's going on. Remember your blessings. Have patience that God knows what he is doing. And that one way or the other, that situation is going to be resolved. Amen.